It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, rap attack Mr. Magic Molly.
What he said
was, well, he's supposed to have been a Billy Cunningham fan. I mean, that guy, you know.
He posited that it would just be Bill Russell and the Celtics because the Celtics won a lot.
Yeah, Martin Luther King won a lot. What about, was it like this is just like King's setbacks in Chicago in 67 like coincided with Russell losing.
Well, he wasn't cheering for the Cicero Stampeders. That's what we
know.
All right, basketball.
Why don't we talk? What have you been following? I mean, you've been watching more games than I have.
I probably have right now. Oh yeah, so it's like January something. We're in January.
It's almost the 20th
of the year 2012.
Today's the 19th.
The 19th. The Heat are beating the Lakers handily. In the
right
Miamis.
Now, as we speak.
And all I could think about when I watched that game is I cannot believe that LeBron James, who was the...
Is Dwayne Wade playing?
I didn't know it's Wade out there. Okay. I don't think he is playing. He's hurt, right?
I think he's hurt.
Yeah, well, it was all James and Bosch looked good. Whatever else.
Okay.
But, LeBron James. It's time for him to win the Defensive Player of the Year trophy. Because he should have had last year and maybe the year before. It's just ridiculous how they just hand it to Howard.
How many years in a row has he won it?
I think it's four? Three or four. But it's... James should have won last year. He's just so big. Then when he does crazy ass shit, you're like, oh, of course he did that. But he's an incredible defensive player.
Best in the game. Do you think he's better than Tony Allen?
Yes, I think he's better than Tony Allen.
Okay. Just throwing that out there, you know.
He doesn't... Well, no, he does fall down as well as Tony Allen. I take that back.
All right, so why don't you talk about that and how LeBron James deserves to be Defensive Player of the Year.
We're recording.
We're recording?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow. This is on the record?
Yeah, that's on the record, man.
Oh my gosh.
Why?
So it's on the record that I suggested Tony Allen should be Defensive Player of the Year. People are going to be listening to this? Yes, what are people going to think of me? Girls could be listening to this. What if they think that I think that Tony Allen deserves to be Defensive
Girls
Player of the Year?
Girls don't listen to podcasts, man. So I can pick the world up and I'ma drop it on your fucking head. Yeah, bitch, I'ma pick the world up and I'ma drop it on your fucking head. Yeah. And I could die now, rebirth, motherfucker. Hop up in my spaceship and leave Earth, motherfucker. I'm gone. And thanks to Eric Oppenberg, who sent us the other email. So based on our responses so far, we're 50-50 male-female, so we'll give you that.
Adam Schwartz listened to this. Oh. We're gonna put this on the air.
Go right ahead.
Adam Schwartz called this stupefyingly dull.
Well, that was our goal, so I'm impressed. I'm glad we got that.
Another friend from college, Charlie Campbell, listened to this, and Charlie said it, quote, made his day.
Wow.
Let me tell you something about Charlie Campbell.
Please do.
Can I tell you two things about Charlie Campbell? Okay, thing number one. Shortly after I went to undergraduate with Charlie Campbell in rural Iowa, Charlie decided to get a PhD in the classics, and he did this at the University of Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asking Charlie what he thought about moving to Cincinnati, and Charlie tells me in all earnestness, it's the San Francisco of the Midwest. And I'm like, why is that, Charlie? Charlie's like, well, the Rolling Hills. I was like, what about the thriving homosexual community in Cincinnati, Charlie?
Did
like,
anybody
no.
play for Cincinnati when they're playing for the Warriors? Matt's thinking.
We had Kenyon Martin, Danny Fortson, Nick Van Exel.
I was thinking the pro Cincinnati team.
Oh, no, that was the Royals. It was Oscar Robertson.
He never played for Golden State?
No. The Royals became the Kings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's more Cincinnati is the Sacramento of the Midwest.
Cincinnati is the Sacramento of the Midwest. Yeah, Charlie had his basketball analogies wrong. The other thing about Charlie Campbell is that he is a fan of basketball. I actually watched the 2005 NBA Finals with him, the 7-game tilt between the Spurs and Pistons. And during those finals, Charlie, whenever the time clock said 4:20, Charlie would motion everyone in the room and be like, look guys, it says 4:20.
Will he do it when it was stopped or just while it was rolling?
When it was stopped.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
he stops at 4:20 in that game.
If any of you listening to this are wondering who else is listening to this,
those are listener profiles for the day. Thanks
Adam
for listening.
Schwartz and Charlie Campbell are our listener profiles.
I'll tell stories about and Eric another day when I meet Lana and figure out who she is.
These are the
Matthew Blake. Trivia question. Are you ready?
Okay.
Who in the East is getting the least amount of votes for the All-Star game as a guard? In the East, votes the least. There's like 14 nominees. At least.
How many guards are on the ballot?
14, I think.
There are only 14 total guards?
Yeah, who's last?
Who's last?
Who is last? With 25,000 votes. Which is a very low number. I'll give you a hint. His teammate is the last rated center in the East as well. Take a guess, and I'll give you another hint. Who in the East? Guards, last. Go. Guess.
Brandon Jennings.
Incorrect. His teammate, who was a center, just got injured. But still should probably have a much higher vote number than last in the East. Who is this?
Joe Johnson.
Joe Johnson is correct.
Oh, God.
Joe Johnson, the highest paid player in basketball, has the least amount of votes for the All-Star game of his position. Al Horford is also last. And Horford's hurt, but there's no reason for him to be last.
Al Horford probably should have made the All-Star team if he hadn't gotten hurt.
I mean he made it the last 2 years, I think. Right?
Yeah, probably.
As a reserve, Guess who's second in the East in centers? Only 1 million votes behind Dwight Howard.
Noah?
Yeah.
All right, let's earnestly talk about NBA basketball right now. Enough of this Charlie Campbell shit.
Who's number one in the West?
Who's number one in the West?
Center.
Wait, we're just doing quizzes now with All-Stars? I don't know.
I'm just pointing you directions, man.
Andrew Bynum.
Correct. And that appalled me, and then I looked at the list. I'm like, well, it is Bynum. He's looking a lot more athletic this year.
See, NBA fans, I think at this moment in my life, I know about the right... I have about, like, the exact level of knowledge as the median NBA fan right now. So that's the first center I can think of in the Western Conference. That's
I think the median NBA fan couldn't even tell you who Joe Johnson is.
Well, I could. I mean, does Joe Johns? I mean, I don't know. I mean, the Hawks were looking good for a little bit.
No, they're second best record in the conference right now. They're ahead of the Heat.
I'm just saying that they were looking good, and then Al Horford got injured.
Yeah, no. I mean, oh fuck them. I mean, they've still won 4 in a row as of today. So I agree, it can't be sustained. All right, and Our team of the preseason, the Timberwolves.
Who are our team? Oh, the Timberwolves. I'm down on the T-Wolves.
Really? 7-8 T-Wolves?
Are they 7-8
In the West? 6-8 or 7-8. If they were in the East, they'd be like a 4 seed.
Maybe they're in the 94-95 standings right now. Yeah, they're good.
They would be ahead of the Celtics in the East.
They're a weird team. I wonder if Sean Williams is doing. This would seem easy to look up.
Yeah, but we're not going to look it up.
They're actually doing good. I mean, they're the Rick Adelman arguably the most divisive figure of our generation.
PG Carlisle begs to differ.
Is, you know, doing Rick Adelman things and is getting a traditionally crappy team to play decently. I watched the Timberwolves-Bulls game, and I did notice that Anthony Randolph received some minutes.
It's a shame what's happened to Anthony Randolph.
If you don't know who Anthony Randolph is, some people said this guy could be the next Sean Kemp based on his explosiveness.
And how many teams has he been on? Is this his third or his fourth team?
I think this is his third. I think it's been Golden State, New York, and Minnesota.
He never played in Washington?
He seems like someone who would play
He
in
does
Washington.
Seem like someone who should
But we're not talking about Andre Blatch. We're talking about Anthony Randolph. That's another thing, is that while there hasn't been a clear team that's emerged as the best team in the league, the Wizards have clearly emerged as the worst team in the league, haven't they?
Yeah, I saw the Wizards-Bulls game last week. I saw the John Lucas game, where John Lucas exploded for 20-something points on 20-something shots. That's... And the Bulls still managed to beat the Wizards, who, look, John Wall is messed up, which is a shame, because it flips the coach, right?
Flip Saunders, yeah.
That is not good, and he is going to be fired. I think my Mike D'Antoni
prediction is the first coach to be fired.
I think that might be off. I think it's going to be Flip Saunders.
John Wall, yeah. I mean, he just seems like he's more in a bad situation.
I agree.
But
they have such nice jerseys. Those are good looking jerseys.
Here's a boring topic of conversation. There have been so many point guards that have been the number one overall pick lately.
Well, Irving's been great this year.
Derrick Rose, John Wall, and Kyrie Irving, all number one overall picks.
Also, you Chris Paul.
You used to
because
even
Chris
never,
Paul...
never take a point guard number one.
Yeah, but I mean, people learn with Chris Paul. Chris Paul should have been number one, and everyone talked themselves out of it, because, like, we just need size.
Yeah.
And that was obviously a huge mistake. Paul ended up going fourth? Is that right?
He went fourth.
Who went before
though he did go after one point guard. He went after Deron Williams.
Oh, right.
But he went after Andrew Bogut, Marvin Williams.
Bogut, heaven. Man, the Bucks are messed up.
Deron Williams.
Oh, and right. And the Hawks. A Hawks random pick thrown in there, right? They're the ones picking Marvin Williams.
The Hawks picked the University of North Carolina's sixth man, Marvin Williams.
And he's almost the sixth man on their team.
Yeah, I mean, it is really interesting because the NBA that we grew up in, you know, prioritized height to this, you know, really feverish extent. I mean, you know, 1984, you know, they took Sam Bowie, Portland took Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan, and this was seen as, like, you know...
The safe pick. Everybody said they... we have that.
The great... Yeah, no, exactly. And there's still Odin over Durant. But that's the thing, is that even after Bowie over Jordan, there's just, like, this... You know, you could fill a book of, like, dumb size over skilled perimeter players draft picks. Sean Bradley, you know, goes number two. Anthony Hardaway goes number three.
Westbrook goes four, who just got a max contract today.
Right, and it goes up until... Right, it goes up until 2007.
Would you have given Westbrook the max?
Westbrook is weird. Westbrook could be as good as Derrick Rose, but he still seems slightly miscast.
That team is still playing really well. I still like them coming out of the West.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have given Westbrook the max.
I feel like it's premature to give anyone... I mean, it's. I feel like the max contract should be more of a lifetime achievement thing. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, Westbrook is. I mean, he's no like.
Is he a top 10 player in the NBA?
He might be. I mean, I think. Yeah, that's a good question. I think maybe you should only if someone that young, you should only give the max.
He might be though.
He's already.
He might be. He's right at the edge.
I mean,
he's.
I mean, if you're like ranked the top players in the NBA right now, like I would say, like the best player is LeBron James. The second best player is
Kobe Bryant,
Dwayne Wade, or Kobe Bryant.
Let's talk about Kobe.
Kobe Bryant's having a great
year. Kobe Bryant's your MVP, except for this game that they just lost against the Heat. Which, if they can't beat the Heat. It's hard to see him winning the MVP unless he really continues to just tear it up. He's been unbelievable.
I mean, this really is like...
How many MVP awards would this be for Kobe if he wins this?
Second.
Really?
Yeah. He's only won once, and he didn't deserve any. When he won in 2008, it was bullshit.
He did miss one, though. But he missed one he didn't deserve.
He probably, in fairness, even though I hate him and I love Steve Nash, he probably deserved to win the 2006 MVP.
Yeah, one of the Steve
Nash
awards. The first one, right?
The second Steve Nash award probably should have gone to Bryant because he did average 36 points a game that year. Yeah, I think
if you had to put the odds on, you have to pick one or the other more likely of happening. It's Kobe Bryant winning the MVP, or Meryl Streep winning Best Actress in a movie that no one likes playing Margaret Thatcher. Which one is more likely?
Well, I haven't seen Thatcher yet.
You don't need to see it to make this judgment call.
I also have only seen Kobe Bryant twice this
year. These are prestige awards.
Which
is more likely?
I have a distaste for both of these people, though Meryl Streep never... was accused of raping anyone.
Not that we know of. Death Becomes are pretty good.
You know, in many ways, Kobe Bryant is like Margaret Thatcher. Is that your question? I think that Meryl Streep is more likely to win Best Actress than Kobe Bryant is likely to win MVP, because I don't... I mean, I don't know who your other candidates are right now. I mean, Kevin Durant, probably not right now, even though Oklahoma City is having a great year. He's having a down year statistically. LeBron James is having a great year.
Yes, Matthew.
Derrick Rose is having a good year.
Yes, yes, he is.
This roof is caving in, but it's time to raise it then. Your days are numbered like pages in my book of rhymes. Got them cooking, boy, this crooked mind of mine. Got them all shook and scared to look in my eyes. I stole that fucking clock, I took the time and I came up from behind and pretty much snuck up and butt fucked this game up. Better be careful when you bring my name up. Fuck this fame, that ain't what I came to claim. But the game ain't gonna be the same on the day that I leave it. But I swear one way or another, I'ma make these fucking haters believe it. I swear to God, won't spare the rod. I'm a man of my word.
Ronald Reagan to Kobe's Margaret Thatcher. Is it Tim Duncan?
Maybe.
Or does it have to be a teammate? Is it Ron Artest? No.
Ronald
Is it Derek Fisher?
I always feel like Reagan was the more... Are we recording this right now?
Yeah.
Okay, I always feel like Reagan... Then I'll say something really insightful. I always feel like Reagan was the more successful politician. I mean, America reveres Reagan maybe in a way that the British don't revere Margaret Thatcher. And...
That's because they don't have highways to name after her.
And I think that both Reagan and Thatcher... changed Western politics, I would argue, for the worse. And I think that, you know, Kobe Bryant changed, you know, the presentation of the basketball superstar as public figure, I think, for worse. And I think that, like Thatcher, he... You know, much like, you know, Kobe picked on defenseless teammates, Thatcher invaded the Falklands Islands, and
Did you just call Kwame Brown the Falkland Islands?
I did, and I also called Shannon Brown the Falkland Islands. Though that was more... I don't know if he ever picked on Shannon Brown. But, The Ronald Reagan to Kobe Bryant's Margaret Thatcher. I don't know what that would be. Maybe Shaq. I don't know. I mean, like Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan, Shaq and Kobe formed an uneasy alliance that was highly productive.
Would you say the triangle is the equivalent of NATO?
I would. For convenience sake, I would.
So who does that make Tex winners?
So Tex Winter is sort of the Tex Winter is the inventor of the triangle, is sort of you know, the equivalent of the little known diplomat slash bureaucratic leader during World War II that coined NATO, who I don't know who that was.
You don't know it? All right, well, who made the League of Nations? What president was that?
Woodrow Wilson.
Tex Winters is the Woodrow Wilson.
But NATO's different from the League of Nations. NATO's just this...
The League of Nations led to NATO.
NATO was this thing that was like, we really were excited by the outcome of World War II and we want to preserve
I'm pretty
stuff.
Sure Tom Clancy made NATO. Can we that say actually, that Tex Winter is the Tom Clancy of this situation?
Anyway, you know, at the risk of this conversation becoming too self-indulgent, I think that Kobe Bryant might be a viable early MVP candidate.
What to say to make you come again? Come back to me again. Your sad guitar.
Yeah, so what do you think about sitting Derrick Rose down? Oh yeah, so quick update. Derrick Rose says he has turf toe, sits a game.
Have the Bulls played since Phoenix?
They played yesterday. Did they play Phoenix yesterday? Yeah.
I watched a game on Tuesday where they blew out Phoenix. Have they played since then?
No.
Okay.
You want to start over now?
Yes, start over. All right, here we are, a couple of people in Chicago talking about our hometown team, the Chicago Bulls.
That wasn't very convincing, Matthew.
I have watched many of the Bulls games. This is actually a subject that I can speak about with literal authority.
Literal authority?
Literal authority, because I'm not going to...
Spell authority as quick as you can.
A-U-T-H-O-R-I-T-Y.
What does that spell?
That spells literal. And we can talk about the Bulls. We can talk about the Bulls in a very, very, you know, literal
all right, yeah.
way.
So the Bulls. Big story, Derrick Rose missed games. Initially, it was thought to have... He said he had turf toe. Thibs came out and said it wasn't turf toe, it was a sprain. Turf toe was a type of a sprain.
How does a basketball player get turf toe?
Well, it's what Joe had last year that totally fucked him. I mean, turf toes... Do you know what turf toe is?
No.
Turf toe is when...
This is worth explaining.
Yeah. So, it happens on your big toe generally, and that's where Derek has it. Even though the new report is it's at the top of his toe, which is really confusing... Anyway, the Bulls are either full of shit or they are having some medical staff problems. But turf toe is when the skin on your toe gets a little bit detached from, like, the thing that attaches your skin to whatever it's supposed to be attached to, which comes a lot when you run and jump. And on artificial turf, which is where it got its name, it used to be more common because players would get their cleats stuck in the turf. So pull a little bit and turf toe. But it does happen more often in basketball now than football, because football doesn't really play on old, shitty, artificial turf that much. So, yeah. It's extremely painful. There is no way to treat it. You just need to either play through it or let it heal. But it's gross. So, that's what Derrick Rose has. Apparently. Sometimes.
How long do you think he'll be out for?
Well, he probably needs to sit for at least a month, and that's not going to happen. I think they're doing the right thing now. The Bulls have played more games. They've had 25 games this, or 25 days in the season, and they played like 15 games, which I think is the most in NBA history in that period of time. The Clippers have played only 10 games.
10 games.
Yeah, so the Bulls are going to get a break at the end of the year. They push Rose, and I think that's fine because they need to win some games here, but they have a great record. They're doing well. I approve of this decision. I think they're going to continue to sort of sit them in spots on these back-to-back-to-back nights, and I think it's the right thing to do. And hopefully Rip Hamilton comes back someday.
He did come back in the Phoenix game.
How'd he do?
He scored a few points. Carlos Boozer was amazing in the Phoenix game.
Which is insane, because that dude looks more confused when he gets the ball in the post sometimes. It looks like Aaron Gray when he used to get the ball. Like, I get serious Aaron Gray flashbacks sometimes. And it's like, your job is to get the ball in the post and do something, Carlos Boozer, and he just looks for a pass, and there's no one there. It's an isolation play for him. Or he just looks confused and sad. And it makes me sad.
Carlos Boozer, I don't know what to say other than here's a player who, you know, if I'm at a party, I'm on the train, I'm looking for some way to bond with another fellow Chicagoan, so I trash on Carlos Boozer. I mean, like, this guy is like, he's so like unliked at this point. I feel like there's almost going to be, like, this sort of, like, it's like the opposite of Ben Wallace, where, like, Ben Wallace, when he was with the Pistons, people got, like, so fond of him that there was then...
They got fond of him.
They got fond of him. They fawned over him and became fond of him.
They let him wear a headband.
They let the guy, you know, basically parade around in a headband.
Do you remember the headband conference? Like, they had a press conference to say, well, let this guy wear a headband.
I mean, he you know, he could, yeah, he could dress like he wanted because everyone loved him. And then there was the Ben Wallace backlash. I feel like Boozer is almost the opposite here, where people have trashed him for so much since he signed with the Bulls last year.
What was the last good game he had other than that Phoenix game, though?
He scores 20, first of all, that
he
Phoenix
does, he
game.
He's not 20-10. He's 15-7.
He scores 26 points and 12 for 15 shooting in the first half.
It was a good game. And
26 points and 12 for 15 shooting.
Who plays the forward for Phoenix? Channing Frye.
Look, I mean, we don't need to name names here.
I mean, other games where Rose has been out, like that Wizards game and the game before, who'd they play on Monday? The T-Wolves game. Where he did nothing.
Well, he was up against Kevin Love in that game.
Regardless, it was a game where he needed to take shots, he needed to score, and he backed down from it.
Carlos Boozer.
If you had infinity dollars, and you owned the Bulls, would you amnesty Boozer right now?
If I had infinity dollars and I owned the Bulls,
would you amnesty Boozer today?
I would probably. No. Okay, here's the
thing. Think about that money and who you could get.
Boozer is a uniquely valuable player because the Bulls are a team that wins with their team defense.
And he's not a good defender.
But let me finish. But
he yells a lot.
The Bulls are a team, because I actually know about the Bulls. The Bulls are a team. Okay, Derrick Rose was the MVP last year. He probably didn't deserve it.
We knew Derrick Rose was the MVP.
LeBron James probably should have been MVP of the league last year. I love Rose, but the way that the Bulls win and the way that the Bulls have become an elite team is
because Carlos
amazing team defense. And so what the Bulls lack is people that can create their own situations on offense besides Rose. Rose obviously can. Boozer's really the only other player on this team that can even like potentially step up and be a primetime scorer. If anything...
And so far, he's done it once this season.
Right. No, he hasn't done it. But I'm saying that, like, his track record with the Utah Jazz suggests that he can be a very productive...
Next game, Rose is out. Who is? Everybody's healthy except for Rose. Who has a better chance of scoring 20 points, Boozer or Rip Hamilton?
Boozer does.
Okay.
But, you know, no, I see your point. I mean, I mean, Luol Deng.
Who's the option?
No, I mean, if you look strictly...
Luol's an all-star this year. I think he's going to make it.
If you look strictly at the past year, Luol Deng has probably been a more valuable Bull than Carlos Boozer. I agree with that. I'm just saying, I'm not a Boozer defender. I'm just saying that, like, the guy, he represents something unique on the Bulls, and that's an offensive player that can potentially draw double teams and can potentially... score a ton of points. And I think that, like, if I were the Bulls, if anything, their defense is so solid, if anything, if I were entertaining trade offers for Boozer, instead of, like, trading him for someone who's more sound defensively, I would almost go in the opposite direction. I would, like, you know, see if, like, they could get David Lee from the Warriors for Carlos Boozer. I mean, just...
They could.
I mean, to just, you know, kind of, like... You know, find someone else besides Rose and create their own shots. I mean, I really think the Bulls are, they play so well together. You know, the issue with the Bulls is really just like a lack of offensive talent, and I think that, you know, I think they should make a move, and I think that they should maybe try to trade for, you know, they can do something smaller level, like trade for Mo Williams, who's going to be the, you know, third string point guard on the Clippers, basically. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, he's playing the two with them now, and I think that's kind of his position at this point. With the team that isn't, I mean, an awful team could have Mo Williams at the point, but I'll take CJ Watson. I'm fine. I'm fine with the Bulls not making a move. But I would just say, if I had Infinity Dollars, I would amnesty Boozer, and I would get someone.
But they can't. I mean, they can't get someone this year. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they just need more. They need more pop offensively. I'm not quite sure what that means. I mean, they have. So who is Jason Richardson still with Orlando?
Yeah.
I mean, I would almost maybe trade, like, Hamilton and a first-round pick for Richardson. I don't know how much more you'd have to offer to get Richardson.
If the Bulls make a trade with Orlando, it's for Howard.
Okay, now we're actually trying to have a serious basketball conversation, and this is where I'm going to fail.
Pay attention. This right here is my pretty boy swag. Hey. Pretty boy swag. Hey. Pretty boy swag. Swag, hey. Girls on my, when I pretty boy swag, girl scream my name when I pretty boy swag, watch me pretty boy swag, hey. Pretty boy swag, hey. Pretty boy swag.
The Sixers, the Philadelphia 76ers. I have not seen the Philadelphia 76ers once. I'd be hard pressed to say more than 50 words about any single one Philadelphia 76er. I can say this. One, they're leading the Atlantic Division. Two, their coach is Doug Collins. Okay. Flashback. Mid-90s. Doug Collins is coach of my beloved Detroit Pistons. The second year of Doug Collins' tenure of the Detroit Pistons, much like the second year of Doug Collins' tenure of the Philadelphia 76ers, his team wildly overachieves. The 1996-97 Detroit Pistons started out 42-14. 42-14. They unfortunately finished the season 12-14 and lost to the Hawks in the first round of the playoffs. The point is that Doug Collins is a... I mean, the way that he got that team to overachieve, the maniacal coaching style of him, the way that he squeezed... And we're talking about the 96-97 Pistons now briefly. The way that he squeezed, you know, every little single... effective, I can help a team win an NBA game attribute out of players like Lindsey Hunter and Terry Mills and Don Reed, and you know, and also the way that, you know, he helped, you know, make Grant Hill into at the time the brightest young superstar in the NBA. I mean, it was an amazing coaching job. I mean, the Pistons that year were a team that you know, was picked in the playoffs. And they're 42-14 at one point. Anyway, my point is that Philadelphia shades of the 96-97 Pistons, wildly overachieving. Can anything happen with this? Maybe, because the Eastern Conference this year may not be as strong as the 96-97 Eastern Conference. You know, besides Chicago, Miami, I guess Orlando and Atlanta are doing pretty well, but both those teams have big questions. Al Horford is out for the Hawks. Dwight Howard could be traded any second. And there's an opening for Philadelphia, so we'll see what happens there. I'll certainly be rooting for that team and Doug Collins, their anorexic-looking coach.
There we go.
I'm just a little bit caught in the middle. Life is a maze and love is a riddle. I don't know where to go, can't do it alone. I've tried and I don't know why. I'm just a little girl lost in the moment. I'm so scared, but I don't show it. I can't figure it out. It's hanging me down. I know, I've got to let it go and just enjoy the show. Slow it down, make it stop, or else my heart is going to pop. 'Cause it's too much, yeah, it's a lot to be something I'm not. I'm a fool out of love, and I just can't get enough. I'm just a little bit caught in the middle. Life is a maze and love is a riddle. I don't know where to go, can't do it alone. I've tried and I don't know why. I'm just a little girl lost in the moment. I'm so scared, but I don't show it. I can't figure it out. It's bringing me down. I know I've got to let it go and just enjoy the show. Dum-de-dum, da-dum-de-dum. Just enjoy the show. You're such a loser, Dad. You're such a loser, Dad. You're such a loser, Dad. Just enjoy the show. You're such a loser, Dad. You're such a loser, Dad. You're such a loser, Dad. Just enjoy the show.